Hi, Unpackers. Want to thank you to coming back to another episode. And remember, whatever you hear, Tay and I are simply providing a perspective. Neither of us are professionals. We expect for you to, you know, reach out to certified professionals if you need the help. And this is simply our perspective. If you hear an interaction that reminds you of yourself, then just know it comes from grace. And if you would like to come on and unpack it with us, you have an open invitation. You can find our pages on unpacking.your.ish on most social media. And if you'd like to support our work, you can do that through paypal.me/unpacking.your.ish. Again, thanks.
Yeah, thank you for listening, and let's unpack.
Hello, Unpackers. This is Reese.
And it's Tay.
And we're back for season 3. Woo! Yes. I know. It's, I mean, gosh.
It was a nice break.
Yeah. We are in March. Now,
yeah,
3 months into 2023.
Yeah, isn't it crazy? It was just New Year's.
Like, I know. Yesterday. It definitely does feel that way.
It's insane.
But we're here, a new season. I'm excited. Yeah. Definitely March 18th. Hope the new year is going well for you. And we are starting. Do you want to talk about the theme of this season?
Sure. Yes. So the theme of this season, we're still unpacking, of course. But this season, we're talking about normalizing some things. Mm-hmm. So each theme we talk about, we're talking about how it should be normalized in our community as a people. So that's kind of what our theme looks like this season.
So normalize. So what does normalizing mean for you? What does that mean?
So to me, it just means to make it a part of daily life or make it a part of your regular life,
snaps,
right?
You know.
So like, for example, our first topic is going to be normalizing intimacy. Yeah. So that means getting in touch with yourself, finding out if you do fear intimacy, you know, looking into what you consider intimate, like considering what's intimacy to you. If you have a partner, what that looks like to your partner, you know, looking at your different views on what a connection looks like. So to me, it just means like checking in with yourself, mainly your star player, then check in, you know, if you have a partner, check in with your family, because those things can, you can still, there are a lot, I'm finding out recently that there are types of intimacy. So to me, it just means regularly doing these things.
Okay.
That's what normalize means.
I agree with you, because I feel, and I may have mentioned this before in the podcast, but that so much of the relational work that you and I have, we do as friends, or we talk about here on Unpacking Your Ish, we're not taught.
Right.
Honestly, human beings have been on this planet for millennia, but it's basically by luck. we are the first generation of humans. We know so much. We're learning so much about the brain and about how we connect with each other, what works, what doesn't work. No other human beings have had that for millennia. So it's really a blessing. And I think the idea of normalizing is important because so much of the world has been created from one perspective.
True.
And so, you know, that has told us that emotions are bad. They don't mean anything. And we're learning the opposite.
Absolutely.
They mean, like, we are emotional creatures first, we're rational second.
Absolutely. I teach this to my students. We talk about where emotions come from and why they are. And I was explaining to them, like, just like you have an appendix that you don't need anymore, some of these emotions were saving lives when they needed them. Like the idea of, you know, one that I really can work, anxiety. We, in our lives today, don't need the level of anxiety that they may have needed.
Yeah.
Millions of, you know, thousands, millions of years ago, because it told them to move. It saved, anxiety saved people's lives.
Yeah. To be aware, to be always on the move.
Yeah.
Look out. Yeah.
Exactly.
A line might get you.
To be ready. Right. Right. Your body is preparing you to get ready, pay attention, focus, look. It wants you to look around. It wants you to be worried because that's going to save your life. Yeah. You know, but these days we don't need that level of anxiety anymore because we've got a lot more safety precautions. We're not running from lions,
you know, lions and tigers and bears.
Like, we're not running from them. So we don't need that level of anxiety. So now that's why you have people that have to learn to manage a high level of anxiety. You know, it's just, I love teaching that to kids because they're always like, wow, really? I'm like, yeah. So when you feel this overflow of emotion, know that at some point, that was what somebody needed to be alive.
Yeah.
Now we don't need it as much. Yeah.
And so I love this idea of normalizing. We'll be talking about it more throughout this season, but this time we're going to talk about normalizing intimacy.
Yes.
And I think that this is important on, you know, in every relationship. So your familiar relationships, your, you know, platonic relationships, and most definitely your romantic relationships. Absolutely. Because again, we've been taught that closeness, I think, especially for men, mm-hmm. we've been taught that being close to someone is actually being emotive mm-hmm. is a bad thing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one question I have is, like, how can you find love if you're afraid of emotions? Like, love is the most powerful emotion.
Yeah.
And we have people that are fearful of being close.
Yeah.
And it reminded me, there are two things, and definitely we'll provide links to these. There is a Psych2Go video. Again, plug them before, but definitely look them up. They have really good videos, but there's like 7 signs that you might have a fear of intimacy.
Yeah.
And I really, really appreciated it. And I could recognize some of these things in myself.
Okay.
Because one of the things that I never thought of was like perfectionism.
Yeah.
As of having a fear of intimacy because you don't want people to see your flaws.
Wow.
And I was like, oh, wow, I can really, or being busy or things like that. And the other was, there's a video from Trevor Noah where he talks about men in society that, you know, there are men that are actually suffering from a lack of intimacy.
Yeah.
And because it's societally appropriate for us to, like, go look for sex, or men talk about, like, I'm not getting enough sex, when what they're really meaning is I'm not getting enough intimacy.
Yeah, enough
that it's not okay. It's not okay for us to go to another man or even to our partner and be like, hold me.
Yeah, I need a hug.
Yes.
Yeah. That's very true.
Yeah.
That's very true. You know, when I originally was, when we were with some friends
mm-hmm.
and they really desperately wanted me to know that I had a fear of intimacy.
No, I have shared this with her because.
I'm including you when I say that. So it was like very important for me to understand I had a fear of intimacy. And for me, I think. So
you should run that back a little bit. Like, what were we sharing that maybe you had? Like, I think some context is important
there. I think, like, okay. So I was talking about emotions.
Yeah.
And how.
Specifically, we talked about dating. This girl don't want to date nobody.
I don't, because I don't think I have the space in my mind to I don't know how much grace I have for dating. I'll put it that way. Yeah. Maybe we should use our language.
Yeah.
I don't know how much grace I have for dating because I don't know how much grace I can extend to someone.
Yeah.
I'm in a place now with dating where it's pretty simple to me. We vibe or we don't.
Yeah.
And if in that first, honestly, y'all, if in that first text, I'm like, I won't talk to you anymore.
Yes. And that's what we had identified as, wait a minute. Maybe you're afraid of actually being close to someone.
Right.
And so you're looking for their flaws. They're like, oh, well, I can't give you.
I don't even think it's afraid of being close. I think mm-hmm. for me, it's more or less like the, I don't even know if I would call it fear.
Mm-hmm.
The concern.
Okay.
Let's rephrase that.
Okay.
The concern for me
reframing
is that I will get in a situation like someone and then have to, and then find it doesn't work or whatever, and then have to do this all over again.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it's just, I don't like to date, I guess, because you're doing the same thing over and over and over again. trying, and you're putting yourself out there a little bit every time,
yeah,
only to find out this person isn't for me.
Yeah.
And then you gotta go do it again. And then you gotta go do
and,
it again.
And again, and it's like,
it feels like a lot.
Well, it is a lot. But here's the reality, though, that's what working is. Like, yeah, you work out. Like, you don't go into the gym and then you do one sit-up. You're like, oh I got a six-pack.
Look, I work out one time. I've reached my goal weight, exactly, in my mind, okay?
It's, I mean, with everything in life, yeah, it's, yeah, that process. And one of the things, you know, you know my dating history.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, but you're right, you do it.
But one of the things I've been grateful for is, like, most recently, I had a situation, and I do think this person, they had a fear of intimacy, mm-hmm, of being close, where, you know, I really like this guy. I was ready to say, okay, let's just be together, because I can deal with your crap.
Because that's what it's about, deciding who's shit you can deal,
yeah,
with.
Yeah, but it didn't work out. And I told Tay, I said, one of the things I'm grateful for, because it's been a long time since I've had a long-term relationship. Yeah. I think my longest relationship has been 4 years. Then after that, I had like 8 months, and that was in 2016. So we're talking 7 years, you know, of being, yeah, basically single.
Right.
And I said, because at first, when we were talking about this relationship, you're like, that's a lot. That's a lot.
Yeah.
And I said, you know,
I'm a cut and run.
Exactly. But at night, and I told her, I said, well, you know, what's worth it to me after all this, no, it didn't work out, but I got some practice in.
Mm-hmm.
I got some reps. I got some reps of, right, like showing up in a fight and not just like devolving into like screaming and, you know, right, trying to make sure that I'm still honoring this person and being respectful to them when I'm angry and upset. I got some practice in expressing and saying, wait a minute, you crossed a boundary for,
yeah,
me. Because ultimately that relationship didn't work out, but the skills that I used,
yeah,
I'm going to need for my partner.
Right, you will.
And so being close with them and liking them, and, you know, it was good. Like, oh my gosh, yeah, it does suck. I really like this person, and it didn't go where I would have wanted it to go. But I am still well served in the practice of trying to love and putting myself out there, because I'm better.
I think that's the biggest part, is putting yourself out there. For,
yeah,
me, it's like, I think so. Then we went on to talk about types of intimacy,
yeah,
which was quite exciting to me, because I didn't really, you know, when I think intimacy, I think touching, I think, mm-hmm, physical, I think kissing, holding hands, that, yeah, kind of stuff, having, yeah, long, and also conversations.
Yeah, she's pretty woman over here. She don't want to kiss nobody.
No, I don't.
She's like, don't kiss me.
I kiss,
don't,
but like,
kiss me.
To me, kissing is very,
yeah,
intimate. It's very,
you can be all up inside me, but we don't kiss me now. No.
That's true. But like, kissing is very intimate to,
yeah,
me. Sex is not. Mm-hmm. That sounds so messed up, y'all. I'm sorry.
It does.
But sex is
a
not
pure intimacy anyway.
Sex is a physical,
yeah, yeah,
thing that your body, it's a release.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, sex does have intimacy when I'm in love.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm just having a good time, don't kiss me, because,
mm-hmm,
we're not there.
Yeah.
Let's just do what we do so our bodies can have a release and we can move on.
Yeah. It's serotonin. That's all it is.
Yeah, that's all it is.
Yeah,
so like, for me, like, once you start kissing and,
mm-hmm,
it becomes intimate, then the feelings can come.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'm like, I need to.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I don't want to have those feelings with you, because you are for my release. That,
yeah,
person, that,
mm-hmm,
situation.
Yeah. But,
but when I'm in love, I want all.
But you could do both. And here's it, because, and this is one of my things, I do believe that sex is intimacy in general. I feel,
okay,
like people are dishonest, and we've shared this before.
You, yeah.
Because, sure, one, here's the reality. If you simply wanted an orgasm,
mm-hmm,
you could do that yourself.
True.
You can, and one, you know your body better
it's not
than
as, it's not as good, but that's,
yeah,
true.
But you know how to, well, I think it's different. Again, we talk about women orgasm. It's different. I can cause an orgasm every day. I don't need,
too,
like, and it's, but the reason why I would look for a person is actually, from my perspective, and what,
mm-hmm,
I've recognized is, like, there's a level of validation,
yeah,
that comes from that. There's a level of, you know, feeling wanted and needed, and, you know, just a human, like, warmth and connection. So,
yeah,
so for me, that is intimacy. Like, I am seeking intimacy, and I can be honest with myself mm-hmm. about that. Mm-hmm. That yes, I am seeking another person for intimacy. Do I want like the whole shebang? Like, no, because it's shallow mm-hmm. to me. Like mm-hmm. that's what I'm seeking easy, quick intimacy, like sugar.
Okay.
Instead of like hard, you know,
we done baked yeah,
exactly. I feel like steak, like an entree. And that's different. And right. Is that wrong? I don't think it's wrong.
No, I don't think
I think it has its places. You know that. We talk about with yeah. my friends, you know, like you all know Gary. I told Gary, sometimes you need dessert in your life. Like there's nothing wrong with dessert. Mm-mm. So, and I have basically in a healthy diet, you've got everything. And so right now I would say, I've got some dessert over here mm-hmm. that provides that, you know, and then I'm looking for entrees and I've had some entrees, but then the entrees are not all, you know, stayed.
Yeah.
So I still got my dessert.
Yeah.
But I know the dessert is just dessert.
Okay.
It's a form of intimacy that has its place. It has its role, but it's not going to supply everything that I need.
Right. Exactly. And I think that idea right there is why I'm on hiatus right now, because I don't want, I don't want dessert anymore.
You don't want dessert. You don't want dessert.
I don't want dessert anymore. I want an entree. I want the full 10 course meal at this point. So I think that's why I'm so like, you know, right now I'm gonna put a pause on that. And I think I really want to find what I want.
Yeah. And yeah. I think, well, and I, you know.
I want him to find me, I should say.
Well, he will find you. I believe that.
I guess.
Okay. Well, Hold on. Let me try to be a better friend here. Mm-hmm. Because if I affirm you and go into affirmation, there's a great video, you all should catch it, where this black mother. Did you see that video?
Which one?
This black mother talks about her daughter said she wanted to be white.
I saw the beginning. I didn't get to finish it.
Oh, you should watch that.
Okay, I'm gonna finish it.
But she shares there. She says that when her daughter shared this, she's like, "I'm glad," and so this is hard for me.
Yeah.
But when her daughter shared this, she said she wanted to go into Black Girl Magic, yada yada yada. But she stopped herself. She got curious and said, "What made you feel that way?
Right?
Like, where is that coming from?" And then from there, her daughter shared. And then she said, well, can I share something? So she identified with the experience.
Yes.
And then later they got into the affirmation.
Yes.
So I am not going to shut down your experience. Okay, my friend.
Well, thank you.
You know, how can I support you?
I don't know. Just keep inviting me out places.
Of course.
I can be in different environments and maybe I can run up on somebody.
Yes, because that's what we're doing right now. And we have, and we can give you a rundown. We are actually volunteering. Mm-hmm. We're volunteering not for selfless reasons. We care about people. But
sure.
We're volunteering because we're also going to try to find men. So, yes. Yeah. I'm not going to say anything because if we share where we are, that might seem a little bad.
It's a little much.
But
yeah.
Yes.
So
But we're going to be volunteering.
Yeah.
And if we find the men's
and
or women's,
okay. Right.
we will let you know.
Right.
Like, yes, go volunteer.
Right.
But I do
right.
honestly, and we were talking, I'll bring it back. I'll stop really, really quickly. But I think volunteering is a really, really great way.
It's awesome.
Like, yeah.
Like I used to do it back, a lot in high school.
Yeah, giving back. And one, if you find people that are volunteering to me, what that shows is that this person is selfless in some way.
Yeah.
They're not all, you know, driven into, hey, my career and all these things. Yeah. It's like, no, I recognize that there are other people that might need help.
Sure.
And so I want help.
Sure.
Yes. Yeah. So let's get back to intimacy, though. Okay. Did you want to share what?
Yeah. So during the discussion about me having fear of intimacy, we talked about different types of intimacy, which was really interesting to me. So there's emotional intimacy, which is where you get your validation, your respect, empathy, trust. Then you've got physical, which of course, you know, is your cuddling, hand-holding, those things. Intellectual, your conversation, mental stimulation. A person, you know, just having a good conversation with you, talking to you, stimulating your mind. Then you got spiritual, which has to do with your faith, what your belief is in the higher power. And then lastly, you got experimental, which is you sharing experiences with the other person or trying new things. Being able to allow yourself to be adventurous and spontaneous. So all those different types of intimacies we were talking about, and I could definitely see how I have, I'm lacking in a couple of areas that I know are held back because I am afraid to let somebody into that part of me. And a lot of it just goes back to, I don't want to experience what I have in the past. So I'm protecting some of that.
Yeah.
That's very true. And so if that's what fear of intimacy is actually defined as, then I'll take it. Well, but yeah, I did see when we talked about it, I did see how, yeah, I'm protecting myself from some stuff.
Well, and I think here's the thing. And let me read, I'm going to talk about, when you share this, I will talk about the fear of intimacy, the seven things mm-hmm. from the Psych2Go video that said, like, you're afraid of abandonment. Mm-hmm. You're fiercely independent. You always fall for the wrong ones. You tend to be flaky. You're a perfectionist. You're a workaholic. You sabotage your relationships.
Wow.
And
I say four out of three of those.
Yeah. And I think, because again, you can be someone that knows these things, and then something can, it's fearful to find someone that you want to be with, especially when all you've known is things have not worked out.
Right.
And absolutely. So that's going to trigger anxiety.
Yeah.
And that's where the fear of intimacy comes in. It's like, wait a minute, this is what I want. And that's why oftentimes we will choose relationships we know, the wrong one.
Yeah.
Like, we'll choose relationships that we know are like, oh, well, this is bad for me, but it's easy. It's manageable. If this person leaves me, it's not going to hurt.
Right.
And
so we think.
Yeah. And so it's going after, ultimately, and I think for me, one of the things I'm grateful for is, because some people, we talked about, I think we had an episode where we talked about like falling in love with friends. If we do that.
Yeah, we did. And talk so, about, yeah.
You know, and for me, actually having the experience of going after a friend or telling a friend that, hey, I loved you or I have a romantic feeling toward you mm-hmm. and trying to see if I could work that out was a good and positive thing for me, because ultimately I know I'll survive if that does it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm talking about, these are people, I talk to them every single day.
Yeah.
For hours of a day. Like, these were the closest human beings in my life. And then that's gone.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah.
It's, I mean, it definitely hurts because I cared about them.
Of course.
And, you know, but I would have rather allowed my relationships to grow to the, you know, because it's like, where else can it go? Like, I'm talking to you. Like, every single day, you're the most important. I depend on you. We spend time together. Like, of course I want to be with you.
Yeah.
I want to be with you.
Yeah, that's tough.
You know, I'm telling you and showing you through my actions that I want to be with you. Like, I want to spend time with you. I, you know, like, this is a relationship I want. And it doesn't work. And it's okay. You know, so because I can go. I learned from it. It's like, wait a minute. If I am just going to be friends with someone, if that's all they want, then I need to have some boundaries.
Right.
With them.
Absolutely.
Around intimacy.
Mm-hmm.
But for partners, I'm going to do that's everyday talk every day. That's what I want. That's I want to be able to talk to you every day.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But you learn that by doing it.
Okay.
And you learn that, okay, yes, it does suck when people leave.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, you get better at it.
Yeah. And I guess that goes along with the fact of normalizing it by allowing yourself to see, you know, putting yourself out there. Like, we talked about being vulnerable, putting yourself in a position where, somebody might hurt you.
Yeah.
But it's okay.
Yeah.
You've come back from it a few times already. You can come back again. I just, I've become independent to the point where I'd rather just stay by myself than have another trail of, you know, broken hearts or pain or whatever.
Well, and here's the thing, because my fear of intimacy, I would say, I've shared this with you, is like, I have anxiety about our friendship.
Yeah.
Like, our friendship ending. But again, I would rather enjoy you and have you as a friend now.
Yeah.
Like, of course, if things end, relationships end.
Yeah, they do.
You know, but leaning into it, I wouldn't have this experience if I didn't lean into it.
That's true.
And
that's
so, true. You know, like, that's just how I have come to recognize, like, I can either allow my fears to drive me and keep me away from things that can be good and edifying, or I can just lean into them. Like, yeah, Shantae could not be my friend tomorrow.
Yeah.
She'd be like, oh, bitch, I'm tired of you.
You had good times.
You know? And like, and we never talk. But I would rather have the experiences and memories,
yeah,
and go through that hurt than just be a friend like, no, I don't know. And like, you know, not call you and like, yeah, oh, this is too close. I'm sorry. You mean too much to me.
I completely agree with that. Yeah. Because I think that what I recognize in myself, because I get a little nervous when I think that, you know, are you really calling because you want to? Like, I start to think those questions. So, you know, I see it. Mm-hmm. And you, like they say, you see it and then you do something. That's, you know, the first part of the first step is admitting, right?
Exactly.
So, like, I see it and I do plan to try to be more open and normalize, you know, so being the intimate.
So then,
all different ways.
So what are like maybe three things that we could do that you feel like?
I think I could go on a date.
Okay.
A date. I think going on one would be okay.
I agree.
And then secondly, I think I need to, you know, we were talking about this a few minutes ago before we started recording. Just need to start unpacking. What's the worst that could happen?
Yeah.
You know, like start to have some of those hard moments, look into some of those things, dig into some of those feelings as to what am I afraid of?
Yeah.
So I really need to do that work.
Yeah.
Because I already have a lot of answers, mm-hmm, as to why that is.
Yeah.
Where I get stuck is, okay, I know why that is. Now what?
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm, that still doesn't mean I want to do it and put myself out there and be hurt.
Yeah.
I know why, but so what? I still don't want to do it.
Yeah.
I think, and then the last thing is just doing it.
Yeah.
Like really letting myself become comfortable with trying it, even if it'll fail.
Well, and here's the thing is you can only get better by doing anything. Like
you're gonna
be bad at it. You're gonna mess up.
Yeah.
You're gonna mess up royally.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna be there. And I will support you. I also laugh. So because listen, you gotta do it.
Someone asked me this question about me. So, do you think that because of the way I am? So, speaking, I've been accused of being, and not just by a lot of people that interact with me, I've been accused of being more masculine in thought.
Okay.
Do you think that's why when men approach, can men see that, or do they wait for you to start talking to pick that up? And then most of the time, my question is, mm-hmm, when men come at me, it's typically sexual. And there's usually no idea of, let me take you out on a date, let me do, oh, it's more or less like, you know, where you at, what you're trying to do.
Well, I mean, again, I think I do believe in energies. And so I would say, if you're giving off energy that you're not ready for something, then you're most likely not going to attract. Someone said this, you attract what you are, not what you want.
Okay.
And so if you are attracting that energy, then that's where you are.
That's been all my life.
Well, sweetie,
that's insane.
Well, but come on. But here's the thing, sweetie, though. Part of that we can unpack and we know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
that's true.
Experiencing that's true. Sexually has been most of how you.
That's true.
You know?
That's very
and
true.
So, like, unlearning and unpacking that, and first, like, just recognize, like, wait a minute, you know, there is some trauma here.
Yeah, that's going to be a little painful.
Exactly.
But I'm here for it because, you know, I want something different now.
Yeah.
So I think one of the biggest things I always say is you want something different, you got to do something different. And so, like, I know that I need to do something different.
Okay.
Because what I've been doing, it doesn't work for me anymore. I haven't even wanted to have sex in the past like a year and a half. So, you know, I definitely don't want that anymore. Well, I want that, but not that only or exclusively, because mm-hmm. before I would have been completely happy, had me a little dessert somewhere.
Yeah.
And I would have went on with the rest of my life as long as I knew I could get that dessert whenever I wanted to. I'd have been perfectly fine. So yeah, I do think that's something I want to unpack. Yeah. I think I'm ready to start to look into that.
Well, I think for me, the way I can normalize it in my own life is definitely just owning. Like, I feel as though if I am like angry with someone or share mm-hmm. that I'm angry, like they'll leave.
Okay.
And then just, you know, I definitely tell people I love them, but being okay with other people's like uncomfortable emotions.
Yeah.
And then the last thing is just, you know, recognizing people are different places. You know, I think maybe choosing better, because yeah. I think sometimes I do choose people that I know are not available.
Okay.
So.
Well, that's the key.
Yeah, well, that is our episode. We got like 10 seconds, so.
Well, hopefully you all be able to start to normalize intimacy in your life. Look at some of those links that we're going to put up. Pay attention and most importantly, do the work.
Okay. Yeah, as always, thank you.